Welcome to the Thriving Farmer Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Kilpatrick. Our mission is to inspire, educate, and celebrate sustainable farming. We believe that you can build a profitable, sustainable farm that gives you true farm freedom. Join us as we talk to farmers, innovators, educators, and entrepreneurs to glean their top takeaways in business and life.
Hey, Thriving Farmers, Michael here. So this week you get a double header. There is two episodes and both are actually about bamboo. Sorry, guys. I'm just very interested in the topic and wanted to learn more about it. So I hope you enjoyed Adam's podcast episode because Adam has a really interesting take being one of the foremost experts in the U.S. and been a long time as a bamboo nursery owner. But today's episode covers is more the commercial side and a company out of Europe's attempts to start to develop commercial production back in the U.S. So Roseanne is actually a rep for them and she reps for the Carolinas, which we'll tell you about. But what she brings is talks about their challenges of growing bamboo, the exact process that this company goes through to establish 1 to 5 acre groves in the U.S., I think even larger. But really talks through the crop cycle, how long it takes, the varieties that they're using, and exactly how they're planting them. So it's a really interesting take on this. She actually came at it from, was actually reached out to by this company to become a sales rep for them. And so after she learned about bamboo, was super excited and took on the job. And since then, she's also taken on an activewear company as well that she reps for as well. So completely different take. But I think you're going to find it really interesting because it kind of fleshes out a little bit. Adam really talked about more the opportunity and the mechanics and some of the history. And this episode more talks about, you know, what's actually possible to start growing in the U.S. Now, what she's describing won't be for everyone. It's a very long-term return on investment. And you have to contract with the company for, I think, a 10-year guaranteed buyback. But it is a really interesting business model. And again, it's always something new on the podcast, trying to learn something new myself, and that's why we brought her on. So again, thanks again to Roseanne for coming on, and thanks again for you for listening. And guys, keep those reviews coming. I really appreciate logging in every day and checking out just what you guys are saying all about the podcast on iTunes. All right, again, thanks so much for listening, and help me welcome Roseanne to the podcast. Welcome to the podcast, Roseanne.
I'm so happy to be here today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, and you're also known as the classic bamboo lady, right?
I am. It's crazy. My last name is Classic, and everybody around me says, oh, you're the bamboo. Oh, yeah, classic bamboo lady. So there it is.
Okay. So talk to me a little bit about how did you get involved in the bamboo industry?
Well, let's see. It's probably going on, probably 3 to 4 years now. I was at a time in my life. I've been in business sales. I have been in consulting most of my life. And there was a downsize where I was looking for a new opportunity. And actually, this company was looking for reps in the United States. They found my resume, gave me a call. And after we spoke, they thought it'd be a great fit to represent their company in getting the word of bamboo out there. So that's pretty much how it started.
Interesting. So before that, you weren't really familiar with the bamboo industry, but they reached out, you kind of got involved and said, oh my gosh, this sounds really cool.
And the reason it sounded cool, because all my life, I have been one to really be, you know, connected to the environment. I always felt like everything that we do has a result or a consequence to it, whether it be good or bad. So when they brought it to me, I'm like, oh, that's so interesting. I got to read more and more and more. And I couldn't put it down with all the information they were giving me. Mm-hmm. I was just like, oh, this is just so interesting. I love this. And I was connecting to the whole concept right away. I didn't even know much about bamboo in the United States, let alone what's going on in the world. So it just gave me this new insight that I was excited about.
Mm. But you do have two companies now. One, you said, actually growing it, and then one in like an activewear company as well.
Yeah. So the major one right now is a company. You want me to give you that name?
Sure.
You want to wait to the end?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Okay. This particular company is called Olimoso USA, and they're located down in Sarasota, Florida, where they actually have the nurseries. Mm. Now, their background is coming. They started, I believe, in 2014 in Italy. And they're over there in Europe, and they started it. The gentleman who started this, his name is Dr. Petchu, he's probably one of the first pioneers of bamboo He's been studying it all his life. I mean, he has an agriculture background, and he's been so consumed by it all his life that he thought, why aren't we not growing this like we should? Because there's so many products and services that come out of bamboo, and it's such a natural product. Mm-hmm. So he started it with the concept of being in Italy, where they actually sell the plants. They do not sell seeds. You cannot sell seeds. So they sell the plants. And what they do is they start the seeding somewhere, and then they start putting it in nurseries, and then they propagate these plants. And then they actually have many people looking over the nurseries day and night. And that's what the farmers and the landowners, that's what they sell to the farmers and landowners. And so they started in there, and they're a completely debt-free company right now. And they're one of the, I think they're the largest bamboo companies in Europe. So they have excelled. Now, he brought the idea to the United States, and our operations manager, he's ultimately, he's over here in the United States. He's located in Florida. So he said, I'll go ahead and start the operations here. And then what we're going to do is start the nurseries in Florida, because obviously that's the best weather. Mm-hmm. And so that has started since we are at 2020, I believe 2016. And we really, now we're, what we're doing is they're propagating all the plants down there in the nurseries. And so I am one of their reps, and I cover a lot of the Carolinas, North and South Carolina. And so we have reps throughout the United States. But of course, there's only certain regions of the United States that you can actually grow bamboo, so it can grow well. It does not do well in any of the northeastern parts of the United States or the Midwest up in the colder parts. So mm-hmm. the temperature has to be pretty much doesn't have, get below like 25 degrees, actually the soil. So when you're growing it in the wintertime, so it doesn't freeze. So we cover certain parts of the United States. And gotcha. So anyway, this has gone on, and we are now going into probably our first harvest here. It takes 3 to 4 years to harvest this bamboo. And that's the waiting period. That's where everybody gets so anxious, like it's never going to come out of this ground. I don't know what's going on. And then, boom, it happens. Mm. So that's how we started it.
Very cool. So obviously, I think a big reason why it's not a bigger crop is people don't like that waiting game with like corn or with cotton or any of these other commodity crops. You know, the same year they've got that. And, but with bamboo, it's a lot longer of a cycle.
First time round, yes. And then what happens? You want to know what happens after that?
I do.
I call it the plant from the heavens. It's a magical plant. It doesn't ever stop growing after that. There's no plant on earth that I know of that does what bamboo does. So when you go into your third year, depending on the type of bamboo, we do two types. We offer two types. We offer Asper, mm-hmm. which is more for the subtropical regions, the warmer regions, and Mosso for those colder regions, but mm-hmm. still not the north. It only goes up, I think, to the tip of Ohio. Those two type of bamboos, because they provide and yield the greatest crop. So with that said, you know, those two bamboos, once they grow, Asper will come up. It's partial harvest starting in the third 3.5 years. So partial harvest means that it's starting to show bamboo shoots in the ground and the timber coming up. And then Mosso goes into 4.5 year, their partial harvest. So you have to harvest the bamboo in order to grow the bamboo. So basically, when we are growing partial harvest and you're going into this 3.5 years, and now we're starting to harvest it, the bamboo starts growing quickly, very quickly. And then what happens is you're going your 50 or 60 year, the bamboo can grow 3 feet a day.
Wow.
You'll harvest it twice a year. And then basically you could go to sleep and then it could be 3 feet the next day. But literally bamboo grows anywhere from 60 to 80 feet in height. And it's usually 5 to 7 inches in the diameter.
Yeah. So the varieties you're doing are timber bamboos, and the end products are the timber and the shoots.
Yes, that's correct. So the bamboo shoots, are the big shoots coming out of the ground. And they are, I heard once, I'm not sure how true this is, but it's considered one of the top superfoods in the world. Mm-hmm. So the bamboo shoots are very, it's like a very, very valuable. And as you know, our company already bottles bamboo shoots in Europe, which okay. will eventually be the United States. And when you eat bamboo shoots, there's a whole process you have to go through to break down to actually have the edible part of the bamboo shoot. So you, it's not like you can pull it out of the ground and just munch on it like a panda bear, but you actually have to break down the fiber around it by heating it and so forth. And then that's when they end up bottling the bamboo shoots, which is, again, full of nutrients, minerals, and so forth. Mm-hmm. And then the other part, the stalks that are coming out of the ground, those are the ones that we want to harvest as they're growing up. And that's used for timber, construction, all kind of furniture. They break down the stalks also for bamboo yarn. So okay. they break it down for textiles, and then it, the list goes on and on.
Gotcha. We're importing a lot of this, and that's why you guys have started doing this in the U.S. How much bamboo are we importing every year into the U.S.?
The United States is the largest importer of bamboo, believe it or not. And we are importing from China, and we're about a $600 million right now.
Wow.
So you can see the great opportunity. That's why, another reason I'm so excited about bamboo. Not only does the bamboo have all these amazing benefits for the earth, but when you're talking $600 million a year that we're importing from China, that all the opportunities that we could have here in the United States. So it takes time to grow this bamboo, but once we do, because think of all the products. You know, in China, they're building scaffolds. They're using it for construction. You don't see it much here in the United States, and the reason is we have to import it. There's so many taxes and stuff that are on top of it. Mm-hmm. And it's not really in the United States like it is China. But if anybody, you know, really did the research, they would find out it's unbelievable what they use it in construction, bridges. I heard there was a bridge, I believe in China, not sure where, it collapsed. And they put up a temporary bridge made out of bamboo. And it's still hanging from this day because, in case anybody doesn't know, bamboo is stronger than steel by weight. That's a fact. It's stronger than steel by weight. So that's why they're using bamboo in timber, in construction, I mean, cabinets, flooring, and so forth. On the other side, you got to be careful about bamboo. When I read a story, they were making like cups out of bamboo, coffee cups, but they were using another chemical on top of the bamboo. So Pete, you got to be careful when you're buying these products, you know, to make sure that the chemical and the glue is not interfering with the natural benefits of bamboo.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always be careful, you know, what you're reading. And sometimes that's what you see.
Yeah.
But getting them to be an importer, and that's what our company, that's our position here, to get bamboo in back in the United States. It was here, you know, 600,000 years ago, and then it went away like hemp. And now it's mm-hmm. back. So what's growing around the United States is wild bamboo. What we're trying to do, we're using the two species of Asper and Moso. We feel it's some of the strongest bamboo. We're giving opportunities to all the farmers, landowners. And by the way, too, we have a college and we have one of our staff who just goes out to agriculture universities and that, because they're always doing their research on the latest product. Well, up at A&T University up in Greensboro, North Carolina, they're already grown hemp and they already partner with Only Moso. So they've been growing our Moso going on 2 years now. So
gotcha.
They do a lot of weed management to make sure, and they're always finding ways for weed management, because that's going to be always the thing, weed management on any crop, you know. So we're always getting better and better at everything.
Gotcha.
So we got the colleges who are doing the research on it, which is really just going to help everybody to better understand and educate them.
Mm-hmm. All right. So you guys have the nursery. You're partnering with farmers, it sounds like, to actually grow the crop. And then do you have a manufacturing facility that will take the timber and for the yarn and that sort of thing? Are you guys starting that side?
Yes, we are. We pretty much, how it goes, like my job is as a rep for this company and other reps. what we do is we're connecting and we're educating farmers and landowners. There, you would be surprised how so many have no idea what this is all about. And so I say, it's not my job to sell you. My job is to educate you. Mm-hmm. So we go around and we talk to many farmers, landowners. We talk to agriculture schools, and we educate them into the process of how to grow bamboo and what the potentials are. So once we do that with a farmer or landowner and say they're on board, and sometimes it could take 4 months, 6 months, a year before they say, okay, I'm ready to do it. Mm-hmm. Because it's such a process. Once they do, and now we're in partnership with them. And then we go through the whole process of helping them to prepare their land and so forth to get started. Because, you know, it's going to take at least, you know, I say it's going to take up at least 3 months to prep your land and your soil to get ready to actually do the planting. And the planting takes place a certain time of the year. As soon as spring is ready to come and there's no more frost, there's a time to start planting. And then we go into about October till the end of the year. And we don't want to go into when there's any frost, you know, when winter's coming as well.
Gotcha. So then when you plant, you're taking actually the seedlings, and like what size of pots do you use? Because I've never seen this done.
So we don't do any seedlings.
Yeah.
We never do any seedlings. So what we're doing in Florida, what we're doing is they actually have, the plants are in, they are in pots, but they're not in small pots. There's a certain size of them. They're somewhat medium. And these are the plants that have been in the nurseries for months and months. And what they're doing down there, they're making sure that the root system is intact. It's growing well so that when they transport it to the farmer, that it is very strong because okay. It cannot be weak, because this is where once we take the plant with the root system and we put it on a truck, this is where everything becomes very fragile because of the heat and so forth. So just that transportation to the farmer is a very fragile situation. And once it gets to the farmer, there's a process that they got to take it off the truck. And we put so many plants in a box. They got to rip open the box. They got to water it right away. And we give them usually, I believe, 24 to 48 hours to get them into the ground. And then there's a process and a protocol that they have to follow in order to keep that bulb and the root system all intact.
Mm-hmm. Because you don't want that to dry out.
No, it cannot dry out. This is where everything is very fragile. Mm. So then, you know, they get into the ground. And then, you know, there is like per acre, if you're going to grow most so bamboo, and that's again for the cooler regions, and it's really good for the North Carolina and parts of South Carolina. Now, South Carolina, if you're going more towards the beach and depending on the weathers, you could grow the asper. Mm-hmm. The difference is one's a clumping, asper is a clumping bamboo, and moso is all rooted underneath ground.
Gotcha.
Right.
Gotcha. So then how many plants per acre do you it in rows and then it starts to fill in, or what's the strategy there?
Okay. So for moso, it takes 500 plants per acre. For asper, 400 plants per acre. So what a farmer would have to do is, first of all, we'd get a soil sample from them. Mm-hmm. And they would send it down to our corporate office. And we're basically, they can go get a soil sample at a local agriculture school. They send it to us. And we're looking at the soil to make sure all the nutrients are intact. If they're not, then we're going to talk to the farmer. And then we're going to give them suggestions on what to put in the soil. So that's the mm-hmm. first thing. And then there's a process where they get to till the soil, prepare the soil, and then they're going to dig. Let's just talk about MOSA right now. It takes 500 holes. So there is, the ideal soil is pretty much slightly acidic. It's pH or neutral value of 4.5 to 8. And then the recommended planting distance is usually 9 by 9 for 500 mother plants per acre. And gotcha. Then again, it's the planting season is best April to the end of September. So around the area that would dedicate to the bamboo plants, we suggest digging a containment trench of 2 feet deep. And this avoids the spread of roots beyond the designated area. So, you know, you hear a lot of people say, oh, I got bamboo grown here in bamboo, but it's wild. Well, we contain the MOSO bamboo. We don't have to do it with aspers or clumping bamboo, but for MOSO we do. So those 500 plants will stay in containment when they're building a 24-inch trench around the perimeter. But if they're doing 5 acres at one time, they just want to dig a 24-inch trench around the perimeter of the 5 acres so it doesn't grow out beyond that.
Gotcha.
And then we're talking about mulching. It takes mulching. And then there's an irrigation system. I won't get into all the details. Irrigation has to be set up, and you can pull it from a well or a lake. It's 1.5 gallons of water per day to the base of the plant for every single plant. So I believe that's like 500 gallons of water per acre per day.
Yeah. So it's 1.5. Yeah. So it's like 750 to 600, depending on how many plant, what type of plants you get in there. All right. That's really cool. So lots of water, because obviously where you're planting is you're in the South where it's really hot all summer. So they need all that water.
Yes.
And so then it's 3.5 years to 4.5 years later, you start harvesting the shoots. You harvest the shoots, and then how long after the timber comes up? Isn't like a year later you can start harvesting the timber after it comes out because it has to harden, correctly?
Yeah, well, then again, we're going to go back. Let's just talk about MOSO. It takes for partial harvest, you're going into your fourth year, four and a half. So you're going to have stalks and you're going to have bamboo shoots. Some are going to be higher than the other, but you're going to want to do your bamboo shoots and do partial harvest. We're not going to harvest the entire thing because what we're not going to harvest is the stalks, which are going to grow really tall. That's going to be used again, probably for your timber, your construction and so forth. So when you're going into your fifth year, again, we're going to be doing, we're always going to be harvesting bamboo shoots, but now the other bamboo as well that we didn't harvest is growing taller every single day. Mm-hmm. And then that's where we're going to start harvesting that. That will be used. Now, the way that Ole Moso does this, when we're working and partnering, we call it a partnership for life. Mm-hmm. When they buy into it, when they're ready to harvest, we're going to come. They can either have us harvest it or they can have their own team harvest it. But there's a 10-year guaranteed buyback program when they partner with us. So when they're buying into this, when they buy into it, they're buying plants, okay? They're buying mother plants. And then they'd have to come up with the cost of prepping their land, tilling their soil, digging the holes, and then building their irrigation system and having a well. And then when we are ready to actually harvest, so we say to them, we're going to pick up your bamboo and we're going to buy it back. Guaranteed, 10 years, that's a contract that they signed with us. They can renew it after the 10 years. So at 10 years, this is where they make the money then. So their return on it, I think it would take about, you know, a couple years for them to, you know, be even with the return of what they put out into it. So when you're going to the fourth and fifth year, that's when you're probably paying for all the prepping of your soil and your land and so forth. But we come out and we say, okay, we're going to buy back every bit of piece of bamboo. So fourth and fifth years is partial harvest. When you're going to your sixth and seventh, it's full harvest. And now they're starting to make money.
Yep. Gotcha. So it's a long-term investment. It's not like radishes, which is 21 or 28 days.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you're more land extensive and you have the space for this, this is a good long-term investment. All right. So you said that was one of the things that challenged the weeding. So you said mulching. What do they usually mulch it with?
Well, they changed it recently here, and I'm thinking they were using clover. So okay. They were sowing it with clover at this point, and it has lots of benefits because they were saying like a controlled clover, and I believe that they're still using this as far as I understand. But I think clover is your best bet in mulching, and you want to mulch it as soon as that you get it into the ground to keep the moisture in. Especially when you're planting in the very hot season.
Gotcha. Now, other sales aspects of this, let's say someone wants to sell the shoots locally. Can that be done through like a farmer's market? Obviously to the ethnic markets that are probably more used to the bamboo shoots.
Okay. So when they're partnering with Ole Moso and we're doing the 10-year contract, they have to sell it to us.
Gotcha.
It's in the contract. So what do we do in return? We're taking this product. We're going to refrigerate it within 24 hours, especially the bamboo shoots. And now we are going to sell it for them, and we're going to get the best price. And that's why we're able to buy it from them right away, because now we have the product, and all the companies in the United States who are making products from the bamboo shoots and stocks, that's who we work with.
Gotcha.
So they don't have to go and do it. So that's the greatest thing about this whole program. A lot of them are saying, well, who am I going to sell it to? That's where we come in. We buy it all back from you, and that's our job to do that.
Gotcha. Is there a minimum size of grow that you like to see, like a certain number of acres?
1 acre. And I would tell you most people are starting with 5 because they're going to make a percentage of, you know, every year. And when you do 5 acres, it's amazing how everything just goes up. And then the other reason is because they know there's this waiting period, this harvest period. Mm-hmm. So if they have like 20 acres, I'm just going to do 5 and 10 acres at one time.
Gotcha.
But 1 acre should do it though.
Yeah. Now, another thing we talked about was people use it for cloth. How does that work? Do they process the timber into like a fiber, or how does that work?
I'm not the expert on that, but I will tell you the other company that I'm a wholesale rep for, a gentleman who's located in San Diego, California. And I would say he's one of the first pioneers in bamboo textiles.
Okay.
He's been traveling. He has a plant in China. And the reason is because the United States doesn't have the bamboo yarn here that he can get to. So he's been doing this over 30 years. And he goes to China. And so he owns the bamboo yarn. So basically, they take the stalks of the bamboo. You know, they're breaking down the stalks and they're creating a yarn out of it. Now, they have a whole system, and I'm sorry that I don't know that whole piece. I would have to study that, but that's basically what they're doing. They're breaking down the fibers. It's almost like a cotton plant. You know, they break down the fibers, and then they create this yarn, and then from the yarn is how they create the clothing line. And what he does, he has a whole line of yoga and activewear made out of bamboo. I think it's like 70% bamboo. The rest is cotton and a little bit of spandex in it to, you know, have it stretch some. But it is probably one of the best, and he designs all of his activewear. It's probably one of the best designed activewears I've ever seen. It's beautiful. Now, as I understand it, I believe he's bringing the plant over here into the United States because of all the changes that are being made.
Gotcha.
So he's ready
as soon as the raw material is available in the U.S. to actually start doing it in the U.S.
I believe so. But I also believe that he's going to bring the manufacturing plant over here too. So in the meantime, I'm not sure, but I believe he might be bringing the yarn over here to the manufacturing plant. But either way, I mean, I have people wear his clothing and I do. It feels like silk. It's very buttery. Mm-hmm. And the thing about clothing is when you're wearing bamboo, say if you're out there, you're sweating, it actually absorbs the sweat. Mm-hmm. And if you're cold, it actually warms your body. There's no chemicals because most of the clothing that we have today, we really don't know what's in it. But we do know in the bamboo, it's hyperallergenic, it's antifungal. There's all these great things about it. So it's very healthy for your skin, and especially if people have like skin allergies or anything going on with your skin, it is probably one of the best materials put on your body.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. All right, couple last questions here. Harvesting the bamboo. Now the shoots, is that something you said that they grow under the ground? You have to harvest them under the ground? Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, the way they grow, so I would just say MOSO grows under the ground. It's 500 plants per acre. And what it does, it's called rhizome. It's the root system is actually the reason it takes up to 3-4 years for it to start, because all the growth is going underground. It's overlapping all of those 500 plants, the rhizome plant, and the root system becomes so strong. And then once it starts coming out of the ground, it starts creating the bamboo shoots, the smaller shoots first, right before it becomes the larger stalk of the actual height of the bamboo. So those are, again, they're so full of minerals and vitamins and everything. They want to capture that. So that's why they harvest that at such an early age. And then when they harvest, as I understand, when they're starting to harvest bamboo, they'll use a machete, to be quite honest. And they'll use a machete to cut it down. And so that's where they're going to bottle it, I believe, and then they're going to refrigerate it within 24 hours. And that's when we take it away. And then that's when they take it away, they'll sell it to companies who actually know how to prepare the bamboo shoots. And there's a whole process for that before they actually bottle it. Now, I know that our company, we're creating or already have in place, we have bamboo shoots, and I believe they're in olive oil. And they'll be coming to the United States. It's already in Europe. Yep.
Gotcha. So they're going to start importing, start build that supply chain before the U.S. ones come on board, so they have sales outlets for them. Very cool.
Yes, they already do. Yep. In Europe, they already sell that. Yeah.
Cool. All right. So then the timber, when you harvest that, you just cut it down at the ground level and then, obviously take off the leaves and that sort of thing. And then you guys load it onto a truck and then haul it off, or how does that work?
Remember, we're having our first harvest here, I believe this year, next year. So we have created a whole side of the house for harvesting if the farmers or landowners want to work with us, or they can do it themselves. But back in the old time, and I still believe they do it, I don't believe there's any, new technology out there that is harvesting bamboo, because again, it's not been a priority here.
Yeah.
But I believe they're still using a machete to cut it down. But if you look at a bamboo, it's tall and it's flexible, right?
Yeah.
The root system down below is very strong. And you realize if you get a machete, once you cut it, it's 5 to 7 inches in diameter, you're just cutting that down and it's falling over, right? So then once that happens, then you're probably going to cut it again so that you can load it up. And that's where we bring out our trucks, and they're going to load, we're going to help them load it up on our truck. So basically it's a lot of labor that you have to get involved. Again, we will offer to come out and do the harvest, or they can do their own, but it will be labor that you have to either use a machete or whatever else is out there that's available to cut down that bamboo.
Mm-hmm.
And then we take it away, and then that's when we are working with our other partners who are going to use that for different products and so forth.
Yeah, like garden stakes or flooring and all that kind of stuff.
Yes. Now, I didn't give you all the details of, how to grow the bamboo and everything that's needed. There's a lot of details into this, but I'm just giving you an overview of what the farmer could expect. There's more details that are involved in this.
Yeah, absolutely. And they can reach out to you. To that point, where can people find out more about you and your work?
Again, I work with a lot of people in the Carolinas, and we have other reps throughout the United States. So wherever anybody's calling from, they can reach out to me. I can give you my number and my email. And is that what you would like?
Well, just put it in the show notes. So if you just want to, send it to me afterwards, I can send you a link that you can go ahead and submit some information through. And we'll just put it in the show notes on the website, so people can just go to the thrivingfarmerpodcast.com. And just look up the episode and get that information right there.
And they can go on onlymosousa.com.
Okay.
They can go on there. And I'll give you my other website for the active wear as well. It's greenappleactive.com.
Okay. Very cool. And you also have a Facebook group people can check in, because that's actually how I ran into you, as I joined your Facebook group and started looking around there.
Yeah. So my Facebook page is Bamboo in the USA. And honestly, there's so many people just wanting to come into my group, and we're all becoming friends on there. Lots of questions. On that particular page, and only members of the USA has their own page as well. The page that I started, we do talk about Only Most, so we talk about growing it, and we're talking a lot about really what's going on in the world, so that everybody here in the USA can see what is going on out in the world that makes bamboo so profitable, such a great resource. I mean, if people dug into it, they'd realize, it helps with erosion, where there's earthquakes, because it grows underground, it can help even with the earth splitting. It gives off like 15% more carbon than trees, and it gives off also 35% more oxygen than trees as well. And because, like, if you're in a hurricane or tornado, bamboo flexes. The whole root system is underground. That's what makes it so strong. So trees break, bamboo flexes. I said to somebody once, and I believe it to be true, you can sustain your life in bamboo. I like the way it goes. You eat bamboo because bamboo provides all these minerals and vitamins. You wear bamboo. It is one of the best chemical-free clothing to wear. You can build bamboo. You live in bamboo. You can have bamboo outside your house so the oxygen is coming in and it's also sucked up the carbon.
Very cool. Well, Roseanne, thank you so much for your time today. Really appreciate it. And always interesting to learn about a new crop and really cool what your company is doing. That's kind of, you know, restarting this in the U.S. as a commercial venture. So that's really cool to learn about. So again, thank you for your time today.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure being on it. Thank you.
So there you have it. Another episode in the books. So I'd love if you would hop on over to iTunes and leave us a rating and a review. Those mean everything to us. We love to hear what you're thinking. If you have a podcast guest that you can recommend, please pop on over to the Thriving Farmer Podcast website and leave us a review. That's thrivingfarmerpodcast.com.